name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed, in the Gospel of St. John, there's a lot of talk about truth. In fact, St. John uses the word truth roughly 20 more times than any other New Testament book. And so what is truth? Well, truth describes a reality, a certainty, something that isn't tainted by falsehood and lies. And yet, to further understand truth, we describe it as subjective or objective. When we talk about subjective truth, that means every person is able to have their own definition of truth. That reality is different for every other person. Objective truth means that there are realities that remain realities regardless of one's opinions or feelings or perceptions. And so when we talk about what is truth, we're not talking about opinions or feelings like how do you feel today or what's your favorite color. These things are part of your own reality and are subject to change depending on those feelings. And neither are we concerned about perception because perception can be fooled. Now, to give you an example of all this, I want you to consider just a simple orange. An orange is an orange, even if you can't see it, right? Even if the lights in the kitchen are off and you can't see its color. This doesn't mean that because you can't see it, the orange stops being an orange. Now, even if a person just ate something spicy and the orange doesn't taste the same, this again, doesn't mean that the orange stopped being an orange just because your perception of it has changed. And even if a person has been trained to call an apple an orange, they've just simply changed the name. But the orange is still an orange. Its substance hasn't changed, even if all of society started calling it by another name. Yet, both in society and in the church, we're in a constant struggle with the concept of truth. What is truth? What's opinion? What's perception? Is there a reality that applies to all people? Or is reality defined by what is in an individual's brain? And everybody just has to go along with it. Well, in our culture today, we're seeing the embrace of disordered perception and calling it truth. Women can identify as men, and men can identify as women. Marriage is defined according to one's sexual preferences. The slaughter of children in the womb is being called reproductive health. And so we're seeing in our culture that truth is whatever a person wants it to be. And usually that comes as a result of that which brings the greatest pleasure to oneself. And this disordered perception of truth shouldn't come as a surprise to us Christians. This world has always been hostile to what is true. And while it's easy to be critical of the world around us, unfortunately, even in the church has this problem. Mingling lies and opinions. It's why we have so many different denominations, each claiming to have the truth. And this happens when sinful people rely upon their changing opinions, their feelings, their perceptions, their reasonings. They pick the parts of scriptures they want to follow, believe, and practice instead of submitting and trusting the unchangeable truth that's revealed to us in God's word. They follow the parts of scripture that they like and disregard the parts that they don't. This picking and choosing, regarding and disregarding parts of scripture has as its source sin. Exchange of truth for a lie. Adam and Eve exchanged the truth of God's word for a lie in the beginning. They desired to be more than what they really were. They no longer wanted to be a creature of God reflecting his image. Instead, they wanted to be gods themselves. Disobeying God's command that you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their reality, and the reality since, has become distorted, darkened. Instead of living in joy and harmony with the Lord, all creation now exists with unbelief, disease, anxieties, anger, confusion, and the reality that touches all of creation, death. The truth that's revealed to us by God himself is that disorder and death are the result of sin. And yet man ignores it. The world rejoices when truth is obscure and hidden. Truth enrages the world, even our sinful flesh, because truth tells the world and us the harsh reality that something is wrong with us. And our pride takes truth as an insult. How dare you tell me that I'm wrong, that I'm a sinner? How dare you tell me that the wages of sin is death? I can be anything I want to be and do whatever I want to do. My opinion, my perception, my feelings is what is true. And this is the lie that the devil works in us. To embrace the lie of self, the mixture of truth and lie, is ultimately still a lie. Now, the Greek word for truth refers to the opposite of that which is hidden. Truth is revelation. Truth is the opening of eyes. Truth is being able to know that which was hidden before. Jesus said, and he says to you this day, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the answer to all the lies, to the half-truths, to the darkness and blindness that enslaves this fallen world and our sinful flesh. And while we were yet in the darkness of sin and death, God himself took on human flesh in the person of Jesus and dwelt among us. Where we're so easily led astray by the lies of the world and the flesh, Jesus lived by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He's tempted in every single way that we are, yet without sin. And while he was without sin, he bore in his perfect body your sin and carried it to the cross, where he suffered the Father's wrath for your sins. Sins of trusting in your opinions, in your feelings. Fellow redeemed, this is the source of all truth. It's an objective truth, a truth that lies outside of you, a reality that is real whether or not you or the world perceives it. God's love and forgiveness are offered to you and all sinners through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the understanding of this reality, this truth, can't be by your own reason or strength. It's why Jesus promises his disciples, and you heard it in the gospel for this day, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of truth is none other than the Holy Spirit himself. He's called the Spirit of truth because he testifies of Jesus, who is the truth. And how does the Spirit of truth come? Where does he speak and lead you into all truth? Where he promises to come is in his word. And in his sacrament. These are the means of God's grace and revelation of truth. He comes to you in the waters of holy baptism, delivering you from the darkness of sin and death and making you a child of truth and life. He comes to you in his word of truth that turns you from your sins and delusions to the truth of the forgiveness of Christ crucified and risen. And in hearing and studying his word, he encourages you and strengthens you to see the world clearly in Christ, to boldly confess the truth, even in the midst of the lies and the deceptions of this world, and to do so without anxiety or fear of what the world promises to do to you. You have the truth. The truth of Christ crucified and raised for sinners, for you. The truth that he has overcome sin and death and the devil through his holy and precious blood. He has won the victory for you. And you can celebrate this truth, for it's the truth that stamps out all the lies of the world, the devil, the sinful flesh. Fellow redeemed, may God continue to lead you by the Spirit of truth to the revelation of all truth in Christ Jesus. For he is your truth. He is your way to eternal life with him forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.